Mr. Holly were real two. So it was your two companions from Germany who disappeared.
We worked for a certain firm, which was a German Millerat engineering firm, and they were called Gebrüder Grosse. They were lawmen in Sachsen. We worked for them.
And then in September, you were called up. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I worked at that particular time in another flour mill in Germany. It was in Burg-Branitz. And I got my calling up paper, and I had to report on the 5th of September in Kosel to the 17th wireless company. Not wireless, no, it isn't. Telephone company. Telephone company. And we went then, after a short being a recruit for a certain time, then we went to Poland, and we built a telephone line between Radomsko, Jelcy, with in conjunction with the German post.
So this is what we would call the signals of the in the British Army we call it the signals. Yes.
Because we came back 2 days too late, so our 18th company, which was the wireless company, had already gone to the so-called secret line, and we were then parceled off 25 here, 25 there, and so on, and that came to the Fliegerhorst, Breslau Schöngarten, which was where we then were classed. Well, they made us to, to learn the funk, you know, the Morse code and so on. And as you proceeded from there, then you went to the so-called Wortfunkerschule in České Budějovice, which is famous footwise in them days. Now it's České Budějovice again. It is south of Prague. About 4 hours away. With doing ever so well there, then we were moved to Halle, Saale, and then all of a sudden they needed paratroopers, you know. And because the so-called 17. Verstärkte Kompanie, Versuchsabteilung Ostpreußen, under Hauptmann Koch, and the others were then Witzig and Meissner and all them, you see, going down. There were about 300 men, and that is the clique what took ML, the strongest four in the Maginot Line.
In Belgium.
Landed on top, took this, and everybody there became, you know, the officers became the Knight's Cross and Iron Cross first and second class. And then from there on, the so-called Sturm Regiment, at the beginning it was called Luftlande Sturm Regiment Nummer 1. That means air landing assault regiment number 1. Are asked then, all were paratroopers, it was then a parachute regiment, assault regiment.
How did you feel about transferring from the signals to the paratroopers?
I wanted, that is the only time, I better tell you the story. We were in Halle. Nietleben was the aerodrome, and then Halle Saale is then the big school, and it was called the second Lehrgang, the Lehrgänge der Luftnachrichtenschule Halle Saale. You know, that's a terrible long name. And there were 25 in a group, and there were 12 groups We were all taught by former civilian Air Force officers, you know, from the Lufthansa. And as you proceeded, and you went perfect in this and other, so you went in the higher group, in the higher group, in the higher group, and then you started to fly. And as you now did fly in, you also had to have so much where you spoke by microphone to the bottom and vice versa. Or otherwise, you also had to... I needed another 4 hours flying time. And in any case, this with this particular, where you had to speak, you know, by microphone and be in contact with the bottom. So what actually happened there was, we did fly, and there was a certain, what we call, this corridor from Halle, Nidleben, towards Riesa. And you had to be in this corridor, otherwise you were shot at. So I did fly in a Junkers 87, them dive bombers. Now you sit with your back towards the pilot. And the pilot says to me, it was an officer, he says, "Would you like to dive?" And I said, "Yes, sir, go ahead." So he did. Unfortunately, he did dive on another aircraft, which had to make a steep bend, you know, get out of the way. Behind was the general of the schools. He did see this. Now then, we would have had time to report this on the self-same day before 2400 hours. No, we didn't. What we actually did was, we forgot about it, you know, nothing happened, that's it. So 5 minutes past midnight, we were called, and then all in our, you know, war paint, we had to go and see, and so we were dressed down, and then naturally it would have definitely meant, because Göring had decreed there is no diving, no Steilkurve, what they call a Steilkurve, you know, where you then twist round, and you had to fly 300 meters over the highest obstacle in the area of 50 kilometers. Otherwise, you were in trouble, you see. And the only way to get away to form a... I only got a very severe reprimand. Otherwise, I would have had then court-martialed and most likely a year and a half Torgau, which was a prison, where... what do you call this?
Hess?
No, it's a prison there. It's in Torgau. I tell you where... Sir Douglas Bader, he was there as a prisoner of war on this particular camp there. And we would have been there, you see, so... to get away, they needed paratroopers or... volunteered for the paratroopers, and I got away, and I only got a very severe reprimand, and that was it. Now, what would you have done? The same, most likely. Well, my two pals went with us, and one was called Pillar, and the other one, Zecher. And Zecher, he got missing in Tunisia, 43, and Pillar, we got divided then.
But were you proud of being in the paratroopers?
Yes, yes. We had nothing to do with the biggest quarrels we ever had was in Goslar with the SS. And they didn't let us go out, so we only could go out Monday. No, 1 week is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and then the other days we had to stay in because they went out. If we went out together, we always hammered each other in them days. You know, that means, mind you, that is 40.
Because of rivalry between the paratroopers and the SS?
No, I think it had something to do with what we have heard about the SS. And then you see, then later on, then when we got together with the SS fighting, they were a fantastic fight in truth, the Waffen-SS. Don't forget the Waffen-SS. They were a fantastic fighting troop. When we said, oh, if there's SS here and there's SS on this side, we're all right, we can sleep.
On this, either side of you?
Yes. And they said exactly the same. Oh, if the paratroopers are there, we're all right.
Because of being reliable.
Reliable, yes.
What did you think of the training that you got in the paratroopers?
The training was very, very hard. And they, more or less, how shall I say, they wanted the best of the best, the cream of the cream. And as there were 16,000 what volunteered, and they only needed six, so what would you do? You had to sort them out. We had a sporting medal which had nothing to do with Hitler, only he then also took that. And that was the so-called Reichssportabzeichen. Maybe you have seen this. It was more or less brought in the Weimar Republic. And you had to do five certain things. That means you had to swim. You had to swim 300 meters. You couldn't get away with it in a still water. You had to swim. Then you could either 100 meters, 200 meters, 400 meters, 800 meters, and 1,500 meters, and so on, and 5,000 meters, you could choose. Then also was shot put, you could choose again, or javelin, and then also bicycle, and so on. Now, when they came to the paratroopers, I said, well, I got it, that doesn't count here. We had to do the lot. Except not cycling, because they didn't have enough bicycles. Otherwise, you would have had to do this as well. You know that. So you've got a very, very, very strict.
How frightened of jumping from aeroplanes were you?
No, you don't. You're not frightened then no more, because you get finished off in such a way so you don't care no more. And the first jump, I mean, you jump and jump and jump, you know, from a so-called make-believe aircraft into a pit of now they have sponge and so on. And in them days that was all peat moss and so on. And you're not frightened whatsoever. You go along and that's it.
How long did it take you in the training to become a professional paratrooper?
We only did about 8 weeks altogether. I only did six.
Where?
In Stendal. Isn't there Stendal?
Were some people discarded as being unsuitable?
Yes, from where as I said, you know, we were 16,000 and you only needed six, so 1,000 went back to the units where they came from. And then later on they took anybody. Need a cannon for that.
What happened to you after this period of training?
Well, from there we came back to Hildesheim. And from this particular 16th Versteckte Kompanie Versuchsort Iron Kostpreußen, that was the nucleus of the new regiment. Assault Regiment, number one. And like I said, it was called Luftlande Sturmregiment number 1. And after we joined, we formed the 1st Battalion under regimental staff was in Hildesheim. The 2nd Battalion at the beginning was in Quedlinburg. We moved on the 24th of December 40 to Goslar. The 3rd Battalion was in Halberstadt and the 4th Battalion in Helmstedt. And that was the Sturmregiment. And every battalion had 1,050 men firepower. This is enormous. You see, this is like even my platoon, 75 men. You had two light machine guns, two heavy machine guns, two grenade thrower, and then we had one 10.5 gun. Now, they didn't shoot all that far, only about 5 kilometers, you know, well, maybe a little bit more. And it was the plate, the gun barrel, and it had no recoil. So much what went through the air also came out on the back. Maybe you have seen them and yes. heard about them at that particular time. Have you got them there in
I don't know.
No. That's amazing.
And Quedlinburg is in Quedlinburg. Thuringia?
No, Quedlinburg is...
Saxony.
Yes, I should say. No, it's Thuringia. No, it's Thuringia. Quedlinburg is Thuringia. That is actually the seat of Heinrich, King Heinrich II, I believe it is. There's also it's like a mound, and on top is a cathedral. It's beautiful, that place. Yes. Now it isn't. It isn't. Has to be made beautiful again, days to come.
How did you feel about going into battle?
Well,
in 1940.
Well, you took it. You had to. You took... in the end, you didn't bother no more. You went into battle and that was it.
Why do you think you didn't bother?
Well, it was the training you got. You were more or less so decimated. And in particular, when the air raid started, and that must have been, you know, what we did see in Germany. We didn't see anything in Silesia as such, you know, my parents. People from Hamburg and from the western part, which had nothing to do there, they came most likely there, and then they stayed with... well, our house was full with refugees, as you have had here, refugees coming from London and so on, and even from Hull and from Grimsby going into the land and into villages and so on, because they were safer there than in the industrialized parts of the country. Over there it was exactly the same.
When did you first have to go into action?
Proper first action was on the 20th of May, 41, Crete. And we landed on the first day in Malaim, we call it Malaim, that which is the western part of Crete. Now, Crete is 260 kilometers long, 20 kilometers wide on the narrow strip, and 60 kilometers wide on the widest part. And Chania, which now they call Chania, I believe, was the capital of Crete in them days. Now it's Heraklion. And we should have landed in a certain rectangular field where there were four olive trees stood. And we didn't land there. We landed 2 miles further on, which was our luck, because that was already completely surrounded by British troops. So if we would have landed there, Crete would have been a Arnhem, the first Arnhem, which it was actually in a way, because, I mean, 4,800 got killed there. And they're all now buried there in Malaim. There is a huge cemetery there.
Which units were you a member of when you went to Crete?
That was the 2nd Battalion, parachute assault regiment under General Stenzler.
And where did you fly from?
We did fly from Toitoy in Greece. It's not far away from Athens.
Do you remember the night before you went in?
Well, we had a huge tent, and that particular part where we landed was more or less like a sand castle, all formed and so on. Oh, yes, I remember that well.
What was the sand castle? A model?
That was a model exactly of the particular part where we landed. And oddly enough, you will be surprised, if we would have landed there where we should have landed, that would have been it, because the 1st Battalion was more or less decimated. The 3rd Battalion was decimated, the 4th Battalion was decimated. The 4th Battalion, which was in Helmstedt, they lost an enormous amount. We only lost 109.
What was your briefing? Can you remember what they told
you? Well, we are going to battle tomorrow, and we hope God is on our side.
Who told you this?
That our commanding officer. In that particular case, it was General Meindl, who was the regimental commander, General Meindl. He came from... he was at one time a mountaineer by the mountaineering troops, you know, what we call here Gebirgsjäger. And he came from there, and then he became a paratrooper, and then he did lead us. Fantastic chap.
No. What impression did he make on you?
Well, he was more or less like a father figure. When you did see him, he had a certain impact on you, as if everything will be all right. See, there isn't such a thing you could step out of it. You had to stay in. You couldn't step out of it. You couldn't say, oh, well, I don't, I want to go home, I don't want to. You were there, and that's it. See, the thing is, what one has here in Britain, you still could be a conscientious objector, even if you had then to go and work in the coal mine or what. Or over there in Germany, if you would have wanted to be a conscious objector, you would have been put against the wall and shot. You had no choice. You had to go. And then it was more or less so. There's a certain... it takes some doing for people, you know. I admire enormously when they come here and Jehovah's Witnesses knock on the door. And I think, good God, what abuse they must get of certain people, and they still come. Now, what a belief they have got in that what they preach. Now, you see, in Germany, you couldn't fulfill this because you would have been put against the wall and shot.
But when he said to you that God is on your side, did you believe him?
Yes, we did. We did believe. Well, so long. We will take it, and then that actually should have been. So far, I might be wrong. What I state here, and in them particular days, creed should have been only a springboard. And from there we should have gone on to Iran. Because, and that if that British major wouldn't have taken that Iranian prime minister in them days, you see, because Hitler needed oil, and he did anything possible. And that is actually what should have happened, or it didn't happen then no more, because, I mean, over 4,800 got lost there.
But the night before the Crete operation, did you sleep, or were you awake?
Yes, no, we were tired. I did sleep, I assure you. I did sleep soundly.
And what happened to you the next morning?
Then, we already got ready at 4 o'clock. And then we...
4 o'clock in the morning?
Yes, we traipsed into our aircrafts. And then we did fly off. And we did actually fly past Crete and came back and then landed.
What kind of aeroplanes were these?
That Junkers 52.
What was it like inside the plane?
Well, it's only an ordinary, there's nothing inside. You sit on either side on benches. Then it's the three-point wire going along. That three-point, that means to say, it's a hook there, where the wire comes together so it springs. And that is where you hook your parachute in. You see, you do not pull your parachute. You jump, and your falling body is pulling the parachute. For the simple reason, you are so low. Lower you are, safer you are. And you fall roughly about, at least 40 meters before it opens. And then it goes very, very quick.
But in the plane, was it all quiet, or were people joking singing?
Oh, yes, singing. You know, maybe this particular thing of bravado, what one has. I told plenty of jokes there, because you see that on the picture. You see,
There's a film of you jumping. Yeah.
No. We are sitting in the aircraft, and it is reaching for the sky, and there's Crete, landing in Crete, and that is where we are in the cry. And opposite me is my friend Bendorf. And my number two son, our second son, he says, I looked at myself. He taped it, so he had it run over, and then with Denise, you know, then
your daughter,
which Denise, our youngest daughter, and oh yes, that is that, and then I said yes, and that is Spindoff.
Do you remember a cameraman taking the film?
No, if he would have seen him, the camera would have gone through the door as well. We didn't believe in cameras.
You thought it was unlucky?
Yes, we did.
And were you superstitious?
No. Well, the trouble is, you see, the German newsreel made an enormous impact in Germany on the people. And just imagine my parents, which did not know I was in the paratroopers. Now, if I wouldn't have been 21, then I would have had to permission. I was 21, so I didn't have to. So they didn't know I was in the paratroopers. Now, just imagine, they go to the pictures, and then they see their son. So we didn't want no pictures.
You didn't want your parents to be upset?
No. They would have been very, very anxious about it. No.
What were you carrying, personally, when you jumped?
I carried the P-38, you know, the machine pistol. Because we have found the 2nd Regiment what took Corinth in April, the one always jumped with a weapon, and I jumped with a weapon. So I was straight off firepower ready. And when we came down, we weren't there where we should have been, so we didn't need it. We could unbuckle everything, get everything done, and then we attacked.
Did you have any other weapons? Any grenades?
Oh, yes. You had the what we call the ayah, hand granate, then which what has that
stick
on, you know, steel hand granate.
How many grenades would you have?
Well, everyone had at least 4. If you could, and you always took one more, you couldn't, because there was a certain weight which you only could have to be carried. And in the so-called bomb compartments, there were then the canisters, what we call canisters, where everything was in, like weapons and so on, which came then also down with a parachute.
And what was the insignia of your unit that you wore?
Ours was a comet, and ours was red. 2nd Battalion was red. The 1st Battalion was white. The regiment.